Today's episode of Rob Has a Podcast is sponsored by Texture. Now, texture.com is the smart way to do magazines, because it's just like the ways that you consume all of your other media. You don't go and like try to buy as many different things as once. You want one place to access everything. And that's what Texture does for magazines, because with Texture, I can be able to read any magazine I want. I love it. I can get it on all of my mobile devices. I've got on my Texture, I could read my Entertainment Weekly. I've got an ESPN, the magazine here. I've got Esquire, Men's Fitness, Men's Health. I feel like that's a pretty good rivalry, Men's Fitness versus Men's Health, Sports Illustrated. You name it, all those magazines are there for you. And starting at less than $10 a month, Texture offers unlimited access to all your favorite magazines for less than the price of three magazines at the grocery store. You could be browsing hundreds of magazines and cherry pick the articles that interest you most. And the Texture editorial team recommends stories for me daily. Plus, their curated collections let me dive deeper into topics. So sign up for Texture now, and in seconds, you'll gain insider access to the very best reads, plus exclusive content, and it's super easy to use. Just click the headlines on the cover page, and Texture takes you right to the article that interests you most. Stop wasting time flipping through pages, and don't waste paper, don't waste money. Get Texture today. The best part is that Texture is offering RHAP listeners a free trial right now when you go to texture.com/RHAP. Think about it. Unrestricted access to the world's best magazines, from back issues to the one that's on newsstands right now. Take advantage of the offer right now, and you could take on your New Year's resolutions with some serious magazine know-how. So try Texture for free right now when you go to texture.com/RHAP. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino with a very fun podcast, I hope, here today, because it is now time to start looking ahead to Survivor Season 32. And of course, for the second time in Survivor history, we see that there is a Big Brother player, a former Big Brother player in Beast Mode Cowboy, that is going to be participating in the cast of Survivor 32. So we got to talking and we said, you know, what other Big Brother players might be good for Survivor? And here to join us is a man who understands both the game of Big Brother and Survivor at an astonishing level. Here he is, the RHAP legend, America's player, Eric Stein.
Thanks for having me, Rob. Although I'm already a little upset, I don't think you should have promised anyone that this would be a very fun podcast. I would set the level at highly mediocre, and we'll take it from there.
We'll take it from there. All right, I'm very excited for this, Eric. On a day where I am really under the weather, where I have been up being sick since very early, and Nicole as well, just a brutal, brutal day. Maybe just what the doctor ordered, Eric Stein to come on the podcast.
Or it might be the final nail in your coffin.
This could put me over.
Yeah, this is the proverbial straw that broke the sick man's back here.
Yes. Anyway, well, Eric, very excited to have you back on. How's everything been going for you?
I don't really believe in New Year's resolutions, but I was upset with my 2015. I thought it got boring. So I really committed to making 2016 a year full of excitement and new possibilities, new friends and new opportunities. Right. And so far, it has proven to be very, very similar to 2015, if not even worse.
I feel like you're really big on the, no, this is now the year, like the proclamation. I bet if we went through all of your Facebook statuses of every year around, like, you know, December 30th, December 31, I feel like there's a lot of similar themes.
Well, what else do you think is there to hold on to at this point? You know, if it's not the next year, then what is it? You know,
it's been a year of regret.
To turn around, right? I mean, if I just set forth like going to be another real bad one, that's no way to approach it.
So there's nothing in the realism of the setting the expectations low.
No, I think we all know that that's just false hyperbole and hype when I'm making those claims. I don't even think I'm fooling myself anymore. They're very disingenuous, you know?
All right, well, let's start to get into the task at hand. And of course, that this idea was first came across my desk that our good buddy Angie Kontz said that she had gotten in touch with you about potentially doing something like this on the podcast.
That is true. She brought the idea to me, and I thought it was a great one. I think it's very interesting because, as we hear you discuss on the podcast quite frequently, there is enormous similarities between the two games, and there's also a lot of really sizable differences. And I think in many cases, we're going to find that people who would do well at one game may very well do well at both games. And then there is another 50% of people that I think would have a vastly different outcome if they played the opposite game.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun discussion, I think. And potentially, this is going to be maybe part one of a two-part discussion. Today, we're going to be talking about how Big Brother players would fare on Survivor and sort of lay down the differences. But if this podcast is received well and not met with universal hate, in a couple of weeks, Eric will come back, allegedly, and talk about what Survivor players might fare best in the Big Brother house.
Interestingly enough, I'm not a homer for my own show. And as I was quickly compiling and going through some of my thoughts on this, I think there would be a lot more survivors who would thrive on Big Brother than Big Brothers who would thrive on Survivor.
You do have a bigger casting pool to look at because you're doing basically casting more people in a Survivor season than are even on Big Brother, and you're doing it twice a year. So I think that also helps.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I also just think a little bit the profile of the types of people that we'll see on each show, which we'll get into in a little bit. But, you know, there are some hidden gems in the Big Brother community that I think just found themselves on the wrong show, and some people that'd be interesting to debate to see sort of how the whole thing translates. So I think a good place to start, obviously, before we sort of even just lay out some of the basic framework here, is why Beast Mode Cowboy? How do you think that this was landed on as part of this process? Of all the people in all of the Big Brother land, why is Beast Mode on this show again?
I mean, from what I understand about the process, I feel like that CBS really loved Big Brother 16, and they wanted to do some crossover stuff with the BB 16 cast, and they felt like it was a great season. And I think that probably that conversation started with, at some point, should we get Zach Rance on The Amazing Race? And for whatever reason, that ended up falling through. And then sort of like going down the line of, oh, okay, what about Frankie Grande? And then, okay, well, maybe he doesn't want to do it, or maybe he's not right. And I think they ended up just landing on one of the people that they felt like would have maybe some crossover appeal.
The thing that's sort of bizarre about it to me is that I feel like, as we're going to get into this, he's not very representative of your typical Big Brother player.
No.
So for sort of the diehards, who are really the only people who are going to really get a rise out of, oh, okay, let's see how someone crossing over fares. I don't think he's a very, you know, strong representative. He's not the most strategic. He's really not someone who aligns well with Big Brother skill sets as we know them. So in that regard, we're basically have him there solely for his entertainment value.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious how it translates. I think a lot of the segments we saw of him on Big Brother that people sort of responded to were, you know, the ninja segments and some of the goofier things that are really all a product of just the insanity of the boredom of the Big Brother house. So I'm not sure we're going to.
Well, not just that, but also the insanity of the 3 hour a week Big Brother schedule. Whereas I feel like that most of those sort of wacky scenes that you remember maybe from like the back half of Big Brother 16 probably get left on the cutting room floor on Survivor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, right, we're not going to be seeing him do his samurai somersaults through the jungle. I don't think. I mean, I suppose that would be entertaining. Right. But I think if we're really getting down to the nitty gritty of it all, what are we going to see from him? I'm not even sure that he wasn't a particularly strong competitor on Big Brother 16. I think he got lapped by Frankie and Cody and Derek. He was not, you know, carrying even physically speaking. He's not physically the largest guy you'll ever see. So I'm actually wondering what sort of skill set he will bring into this. And also, not for nothing, if I'm on a Big Brother season, even as a new player, and there is one singular survivor there, I'm voting that person out first, just on an issue of show pride. Mm-hmm. It may be petty, it may be childish, but why would I want to lose or be on the season that promotes an agenda of someone from a different competition show winning. So to me, I think he stands out as a real target here. And I think that there is a little bit of a difference between Beast Mode and Hayden Moss, who's the only example that we have here of someone who has crossed over, because Hayden was on a season with 10 returning players and loved ones of returning players. So I actually think he was a known commodity. I don't think he was viewed as this one lone target as Caleb might be on this season. Caleb sort of hung out to dry by himself here. And I think Hayden, if anything, was in a beneficial situation because he had the experience of, in essence, being a two-time player on a tribe filled with newbies, but in a game that had other two-time players.
Now, it's been probably at least 16 months since the end of Big Brother 16. Do you think that this long layoff is going to are people going to still be excited about seeing Beast Mode Cowboy on Survivor this season, even if they were fans of his on Big Brother 16?
I don't think so at all. I really don't. I really don't. Because at this point, I'm so far removed, from playing that I basically am approaching this as a fan. And if I saw him, objectively speaking, I'm trying to think what my reaction would be. And I think it would be something along the lines of like, oh, that's that guy who did all right on Big Brother a little while ago. Like, I don't think it would be like, wow, we're getting to see Big Brother icon, Beast Mode Cowboy testing his chops on Survivor.
Yeah.
That's what I find unusual about it, because I don't think he had a very little in the way of strategy. I know when I was on the podcast for Big Brother 16, we did talk about some of the things that we did like about his game that were a little interesting, is that he sort of simplifies the game. He sees everything in black and white. There's very little gray. He's not an overthinker. He basically said, here's what needs to be done and let's go and do it. Now, the game is not always that simple for everybody else, but I kind of liked the direct approach that he had. But this was not a guy that was ever razzle-dazzling anybody else with his strategy. He was not three steps ahead. So it's going to be interesting. You know, this feels like your obvious bro-down sort of guy on Survivor. Yeah. But
Bomb
also,
Squad. He started it.
Yeah, and also, yeah, he started it, then he was still in it when it didn't exist anymore, and then he re-entered it as their later leader once they came back around. It was perfect. Maybe he can do that again. But I think, you know, also, not to be ignored, is the fact that he had a real preoccupation as he fancied a pretty lady on BB16.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, he is in a relationship in his personal life now or whatever. And I don't think that we can dismiss that as something that goes into looking at his game. I think that this time around, if he's going to leave home and he's not looking for a showmance and that's not his mindset, I think you're going to look at a guy who is hungry and out to prove something. But he strikes me as your come out of the gate strong, stay strong, and get voted out for being strong type of player. You know,
right.
I don't think there's many layers to his gameplay.
I feel like he fits the mold of almost like a Brad Culpepper coming into the game.
I agree. He's going to hit the ground running.
right.
I think he'll make his presence known while he's there. And I could see him not being there all that long. I definitely think that that's in the realm of possibility.
A Culpepper-esque track, it looks like we're in store for here with Beast Mode Cowboy. And what, how about in terms of how Beast Mode Cowboy you think will potentially carry himself? Because, I mean, they filmed this when probably like, I think like March or April of 2015. So he is coming off of BB16, probably like 7 or 8 months after the show. You think he's going to be a little high on the hog, like a little bit of a big head about his superstar status as a returning CBS reality player?
Yeah, I did hear rumors of a Beast Mode Cowboy belt buckle.
Oh, boy.
That he had custom made for the occasion. And I think that may have been one of the reasons he was selected, honestly, is he does not strike me as someone who would apply resistance to the producers. I feel like he's the type of person that you provoke him into saying something in a confessional, and not only will he say it, he'll one-up what you had in mind for him. I don't think this is someone who's going to hold back on his own superlatives, his own swag. I think it will be someone who's coming in the game confident, which has worked for some people in the past, but I mean, not to be derogatory, but there needs to be something to be confident about. You know, I'm not exactly sure. I do believe he'll buy into his own hype, but what are we hyping up exactly? Let's put it this way. And I guarantee I will eat these words in my future. But if I was on Big Brother All-Stars with Beast Mode Cowboy, he would not be on my to get out list. That's for sure.
Right, right.
Because I wouldn't be worried about him. He's crystal clear what his gameplay is. And I'd let him stay there as long as it took for him to hang himself, which I don't think would be all that long.
Which was kind of what ended up happening in Big Brother 16. It looked like he was a target at one point, and then it's sort of like the threat passed, and then it was like, oh, let's just keep him around. We know what he's thinking.
One thing I will say is that it did seem as if the guys in his alliance in particular were pretty fond of him on Big Brother 16.
Yes.
I do think that he ultimately was considered a loyal asset, a guy who is fun to have around. I think it would be safe to surmise that he's going to be comfortable being sort of hardworking, outdoorsy. At least that's certainly the pitch that we've gotten in the past about, you know, this is someone who's comfortable in that type of environment. So in a team game, it's not out of the realm of possibility that he would be an early asset to his tribe. It's just that once it comes down to it,
at the end of the day,
right, exactly, in his very own words, at the end of the day, he's going to shine an enormous spotlight on himself that he's not going to get out. I mean, how floored would you be if Beast Mode Cowboy is the winner of Survivor 32?
Extremely. It really comes down to if he could be a cog in an alliance, I think that he would be an effective person. Because as you mentioned, like the Codys and the Derricks and Zach and Frankie, I think what they liked about him was that he was the one guy who wasn't sort of like double dealing. And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was sort of like he was the one straight shooter in that group that when you left the room, he wasn't like talking about like, oh, can you believe what, you know, what Cody just said? Can you believe what Zach is doing? Can you believe what Frank? Nobody said about Derek, but
yeah, true, because they were onto the detonators without him, and they all knew that they were excluding him. And even though we joked about it, he was still in the bomb squad. He was loyal to the end. You know, he's I agree. I think that this is a guy who has that code of character. If he gives you his word, he's going to honor his word. You know, I'm just saying whatever that does for anyone. I don't know what his word is worth, but I do think if he gives it to you, you have it.
The problem is for him, if he shows up on day one, is like, all right, Beast Mode Cowboy, here we go. At the end of the day, it's us four and this is it. And then like he wants to call the shot.
Right. I agree. I do think that that's something we may see. Someone who comes flying out of gates who says, I've learned my lesson and I'm not going to be number five in my alliance this time. I'm the leader through and through from the beginning, driving people crazy from the minute they get to the island, calling shots about the shelter, climbing trees, overexerting himself, you know, to get one coconut that then he eats himself because he's so tired from doing it. You know, I think that that's in the realm of possibility, definitely.
But the important thing to remember is that he did think he was calling the shots in BB16, that they were just smart enough to like, okay, let's just let Beast Mode Cowboy think that he's the boss. I'm not sure if he will be matched up with people that will be so perceptive as to say, okay, let's just let him think he's being the leader. And then at some point we'll just like, almost like Sophie and Albert, how they looked at Coach.
I see what you're saying, except I don't see any reason in this scenario why these players have any reason to appease him. Like I was saying, if someone, let's just say for argument's sake, someone like Philip, for example, came into the Big Brother house and he was playing in a manner that we're outlining how Caleb might play. What's the point of even entertaining him? You see, the person is only a threat of blowing up your game if they actually have like a leg to stand on, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, why even deal with the 20 days of pretending he's the leader when you can just dispose of him right away?
Well, I would argue in a tribe of six, I feel like that you could use his beast modiness in the challenges. And I feel like it would be a little foolhardy to get rid of him so quickly.
Well, I think
in the tribe of six.
Yeah, I think that comes down to one of the essential differences. And that's one of the things I know that we wanted to lay out before getting into some of these options here. Is what are the major differences between the games? And that's certainly one of them.
Jump off point.
Right? Yeah. Team versus the individual. Because on Survivor, liabilities go home early. On Big Brother, a lot of times liabilities get dragged because of the team component.
Floaters get a life vest, they say.
Yeah. And team immunity also saves people. you know, from if you don't have to go to the tribal, you're not in danger. You know, we'll never know. Maybe Cass would have been the first person out last season, but she didn't go to the tribal. So we have no idea, you know, did she actually play much better or she just wasn't in a situation where she even could get voted out? Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, with Caleb, I think what you're saying does ring true because he could be the most physical person on his tribe. I think that's in the realm of possibility.
Sure.
In which case, yeah, do they need him for a couple of weeks here?
And I feel like that you do. But then again, if the first Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn taught us anything, we saw maybe the most physical guy in Garrett, at least the guy who looked the part the most, was voted out by the end of the 2-hour premiere. So you never can quite predict what these people are going to do.
Well, again, so if we want to start transitioning and going through some of these major differences here, that also speaks to a big, big difference between Big Brother and Survivor, which is the physicality and the elements, which Garrett essentially was, you know, sort of fell victim to. He certainly kind of lost his marbles in the scope of the elements and everything. And I think that...
Is that what happened to him?
Maybe, I'm not sure. He didn't seem to handle it that well.
He did not.
You know, the physicality of the game, I'm going to use myself as an example. I lost a fantasy football bet recently. I do not like vegetables. In fact, I hate them. Mm-hmm. I've barely consumed any vegetables in the last 25 years. And I was trying to do a rivalry bet that was going to really be tough for me if I lost. Not wear a costume or something that I would actually enjoy or have fun with. Something that would truly be grueling. So I had 72 hours of just water and vegetables. And I'm going to be honest, I nearly died. I really did. Whether it be through vegetable poisoning, my body going into shock, whatever the case may be, I did not take well to sitting on my own couch in my climate-controlled home and eating vegetables, which most Survivor players would kill to have some nice vegetables. So I don't think that we can dismiss, when we're looking at this, that the ability to handle hunger and the rain and the physicality of the game is something huge here, as well as the physicality as it pertains to competition.
Right.
I definitely think Survivor is a game with much, much, much stronger physical competitors than Big Brother.
It's so interesting. Every season of Big Brother, there's a guy who's in the house who looks like that he is going to be a physically dominant player. The guy who, if he was on Survivor, he would be a threat to win individual immunity almost every time out. And the people in the Big Brother house are always terrified about this person, forgetting that 90% of Big Brother challenges are not suited in any way to somebody who is a physical specimen.
Yeah, there's been really very few physical winners in the history of the show. I guess you could argue that Hayden may have actually been one of the only ones.
Yeah, I mean, you could certainly say, you know, Boogie is somebody who was, you know, could win.
Although at the time that Boogie won was one of the older contestants, you know, he's probably the oldest Big Brother winner, I would imagine, which is, you know, it's one of these interesting
things. I think Dick has got him beat.
Oh, yes. But it was close, but probably 5 years different.
By the way, maybe. Eric, congratulations. I feel like that so many people have been, there's been such a renewed interest in your season that I feel like these last couple of months, everywhere I look on Twitter, all these people are talking about BB-8. So congratulations to you and all your castmates. That for some reason, people are just going nuts talking about BB-8 right now.
I know. You know, you look up that hashtag BB8 Eric. It's all about me. It's true. No doubt about it. It's interesting because you know what? On Big Brother, it doesn't take much more than it's just so easy to undermine the physical players. Mm-hmm. I don't like to tell these stories of, you know, back in my day when I'd ride my dinosaur to school, but I can only use my season as an example. And some of the big boys on my season, they were playing tetherball in the backyard my year. But I mean, they were really smashing the tetherball. And I walked through the kitchen and I said, holy crap, do you see what is going on outside? We have no chance against these guys. They're great athletes. And then I made myself lunch and I never said anything of it again. And then 3-4 days later, they come back to me and they're like, hey, you guys worried about those big guys in the competitions? because I am. And I was like, oh, where did you get that idea from? I wouldn't worry about it. And they're like, I think we should get them out. And I was like, all right, fine. And then they went in succession. So, you know, it's very easy to undermine because you're not an asset. It's the individual versus team again.
Right.
And also, when we look at the elements, you could say, yes, the rain and the hunger, that affects people on Survivor. But Big Brother has the boredom. So you see a lot more self-destructions on Big Brother than you ever would on Survivor because it's sprint versus marathon. You know, Big Brother, you need to be in it for the long haul, someone who has the patience to not come out of the gates like a wild man and show your cards right away. Whereas Survivor, I think sometimes you can succeed by taking charge early and kind of staying there. Yeah, on Survivor, those who are in control often stay in control. You could easily have Envision, Jeremy and Mike and some of your recent alpha male winners as being the winners of their season. That never happens on Big Brother. Because of the HOH and veto component, you could have a 6-1 lead, lose the power. And if you're the person who is in control, you're often the fall guy for your alliance, you know? So on Survivor, I do think that people who have the ability to sort of rally that alliance and come out strong and stay in control of it, that's a distinction as well between the games.
I think this is a very important difference as well, because even if you just take a look at the sort of like trademark philosophies of the two hosts of the show, whereas on Survivor, Jeff Probst comes out of the gate and says, all right, if you're going to want to win this game, you're going to have to make big moves. You need to make big moves if you want to win this game. Whereas on Big Brother, Julie Chen says, expect the unexpected. What could happen? I don't know. Anybody could win. You know, it's really a lot more of that from the beginning of the game. You're really being pushed to play aggressively on Survivor, whereas on Big Brother, you are probably benefited a lot more to play, if not as aggressive, maybe defensive, or at least sort of like hedging a bit.
Yeah, I think hedging is absolutely the word. If you look at some of the recent winners, Steve, Andy, they all were happy to take sort of a minority position in an alliance and build up some relationships and just sort of like take a back seat for easily a greater number of days than the entirety of the Survivor game, I would say. I don't think Andy really rose to the top of the pile until probably day 50, 60, on his season of Big Brother. And I do think it's an important thing because if you come out of the gate strong, there's just simply too much time on Big Brother for other people to undermine you, to compare notes, things along those lines. And this may sound ridiculous, but I also think that the contained house versus the open space is a big distinction between the two games, because on Big Brother, if you start with these shenanigans, like they're going to come out. There's nowhere to go, you know, so it's like you're right on top of each other. People compare notes. But on Survivor, you actually have a little room to get out there, you know, and it even speaks to the showmances. You see way less showmances on Survivor, which at the surface, what does that have to do with the strategy? Well, I think it has a lot to do with the strategy because it becomes a preoccupation for Big Brother players and not for Survivor players. You know, so I really do think that there are a lot of fundamental differences that, yes, the crux of who might be good at one versus the other has a lot of overlap, but it's one of those, you know, diagrams where it's the two circles that meet in the middle.
The Venn diagram.
Yes, exactly. And I think that that's what we're going to find as we sort of, you know, dive into this. I feel like Big Brother has been cracked. The type of player that does well at Big Brother, we've seen the profile. I think that Big Brother is unassuming white guys in their 20s. Mm-hmm. It has been cracked for. The Andy, Steve, Derek, Dan, Matt Hoffman. The list goes on and on and on. Because for whatever reason, people haven't gotten the memo, which is something we had talked about on the podcast once. Everyone is cast on one of these shows for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. So why are these guys here? If they're not the supermodel, they're not the comedian, then they're the strategist. But yet time and time again on Big Brother, those people slip through the cracks. And by the time you realize, oops, I shouldn't have trusted Andy, it's way too late. But the Survivor profile is a lot more wide open. You have winners, at least in my quick tally, from 21 to 57 years old. Often you'll actually see players, I think maybe people in their 30s, maybe the people who do the best on Survivor, which is very old for the age skew on Big Brother at this point.
Right.
You see a lot more fame whores on Big Brother. And I was kind of looking through the past Survivor winners to see, well, what makes a really top-notch Survivor player? And, you know, we're all over the map in the type of people who have won at this point. But one unifying factor, what unifies Richard Hatch to Yule to Bob to Sophie and Denise to Tyson and Tony and Jeremy? They're all really intelligent players. Smart players do well, and people with social skills do well. And I think that that's a big overlap between the two games, but I think it's the unifying factor in people who have won Survivor.
And you're saying in Big Brother, there's a lot more of expect the unexpected?
Well, I mean, I don't want to, you know, cast stones here, but I wouldn't say that most people are going to select someone like Jordan to be the most intelligent or strategic player. I do think sometimes people slip through the cracks a little bit more on Big Brother, whereas they may go about it differently on Survivor. But normally, I would say 90% of the seasons, the cream has risen to the top on Survivor.
Yeah, I mean, I think the sample size is smaller. I mean, is there a big difference between a Jordan and a Fabio? I mean, I think that maybe that might just be a factor of there's a couple people that tend to be the people you point out on Big Brother. But I think that there are some Survivor people like that in that category. If you take a look at that, I mean, if you were going to compare, say, a Jordan and Natalie White, I think that's probably a somewhat close comparison.
Yep. And then in looking at the winners in recent seasons, five of the last six were guys. But right prior to then, you had Sophie, Kim and Denise consecutively. The overall winner sort of skew for Survivor is a little bit tipped in the favor of guys. I think Big Brother may tip even a little bit more so. And I was trying to figure out, you know, what is it about these games? And, you know, you guys have discussed to death sort of just like, is it how the jury feels? Is it, you know, being how people feel about the genders lying or whatever the case may be? But the fact of the matter is these are things to consider when trying to look at who might do well on one versus the other.
Okay. So is there any other points about Big Brother versus Survivor?
No, I think I'm ready to dive into some names if you are.
Could you expand a bit more about the showmances in terms of course, obviously people have a toothbrush in the Big Brother house versus on Survivor. But it sounded like you said that people hook up and have showmances in the Big Brother house because they're more bored.
I think it's a product of boredom. I'm happy to speak to myself in this yes. situation. You know, you're with the person 24/7, and if you're a good player, you're up roughly 20 hours a day. So what I felt as I was getting to know people in the Big Brother house was what would be 6 weeks in the real world, like feels like a year and a half inside of the Big Brother house. I knew everything there was to know about these people, from their second grade teacher to their greatest fears to quirky embarrassments about them. I mean, there was no stone left unturned. And you also feel like there's just nowhere to go on Big Brother. You know, if you're having a bad day and you confide in someone, I miss home or I don't trust so-and-so, they're just going to use it against you. Your only escape is pretend to sleep or get in the shower. On Survivor, you can just walk down the island. There is a little bit more room for personal space and collecting your thoughts and not blowing up on Survivor. And I feel like, right, you don't have a toothbrush. The bathroom situation is gross. You don't have razors. You know, who wants to go and hook up in a pile of leaves? It's not the most like sensational thing. Whereas in Big Brother, you're literally just sitting around in your bed all day long.
Right.
And I do think that is a factor because you see showmances on every single season of Big Brother and it becomes a preoccupation for the players. It really does. It's now you're not just playing for yourself. You're playing for someone else's best interests. Your eye is kind of off the prize a little bit, or you're motivated by a factor you wouldn't have been motivated by otherwise. Survivor, yes, there are people who did end up together afterwards, or rumors of the people who may have canoodled a little bit, but you never see it come to fruition in the gameplay and the strategy.
Okay, so I feel like we have a checklist of things that we're sort of looking for if we're going to sort of filter the Big Brother alumni for who would be ideal Survivor contestants. It sounds like that we have a checklist. Do you want to just rattle those things off?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're looking for people with physicality who can handle the elements. The sprinters versus the marathoners, right? People who can come out of the gate strong and kind of take that control and stay in control, which I think in a lot of cases are going to be the people who are capable of forming a strong alliance, being the focal point of that alliance, and holding that alliance.
By the way, so far, the people that are physical and play hard, these are the people that are out, if not first, always out in the first 3 or 4 weeks on Big Brother.
Yeah, I think you're going to see as we sort of discuss some of these names that I actually have earmarked a lot of people who you're going to say, whoa, that's the person you think from this season is the ideal survivor. But I do think that there actually are some major differences there. And I think, again, I think it's a different philosophy. And as I said at the beginning of this, I think that there's a lot of survivors who can go on to Big Brother and play that out pretty well. I mean, off the top of our head, there's a million people who come to mind. This is a little trickier. And what I tried to do in looking at this, and I know you did as well, is, okay, so who's going to do way better than they did on Big Brother? Who's was a huge Big Brother character who's going to do way worse on Survivor? And who's someone who might be just a fan favorite? You know, Survivor has a lot more returning players than Big Brother also. So I looked at a couple people who maybe, you know, had the possibility of breaking out on Survivor. Whether or not they'd win might be a more notable Survivor character than they were on Big Brother.
Okay.
All right, so I started chronologically backwards with the most recent season. And the first person I wanted to get into right away was none other than Austin, a.k.a. Judas.
Judas!
And things that originally came to mind are he actually held his alliance together rather well throughout the duration of the season.
Mm-hmm.
He was affected by the showman situation, as we detailed. That definitely became a preoccupation for him. He knows the games well. He would be physical. And also, and don't sell this short, I don't think they would let him take his top hat on Survivor. So my gut instinct is he would have had to leave Judas at home, and he may have been a more of a straight line player on Survivor. Just more boiled down to the facts. Less Liz, less Judas, more let's win this thing.
Yeah, he really did get caught up with the showmances, and you wonder maybe what the Austin run might have looked like without getting sucked into Liz Tin.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's not the all-time most charismatic player.
How dare you.
But he did seem well-liked amongst his alliance members. He did seem to be the voice of reason at times, and he rode with his alliance throughout the duration of a much longer game. So is this someone who could be an asset early on in challenges and be loyal to the end of the game? He was not the person who screwed his alliance. His alliance screwed him. So, you know, is Austin someone who would have enough of a voice in Survivor, in your opinion, to, and he had a pretty good showing. You know, he was what, final five, maybe, on Big Brother 17. Is this a guy who you think might even be able to take it one step further in Survivor?
Well, a couple other things about Austin. There was a whole subplot about that he smelled. I think that would be much less of a factor on Survivor. You wouldn't have to worry about that. You know, the big thing about him comes down to, was he ever willing to be the person to throw Vanessa under the bus? Like, would he have then gone to the end, go to the final three in a Survivor season and sit next to a Vanessa type mastermind? Was he a better wingman than he was a person who would be calling the shots? Because I feel like that would be a particularly uninteresting season where Austin and his alliance runs the table, where he is sort of the ringleader.
Well, one thing I will say is, and this is not a slam to Survivor players, but I do think more of those Vanessa level schemers, I think we see a lot more often on Big Brother than we do on Survivor. The only real, like, sort of slimy, schemy sort of players that jump to the top of my head for Survivor are maybe Tony, Russell, Fairplay, those type of people. I feel like Vanessa, especially for females, Vanessa in and of herself profiles as a very unusual Survivor player. I don't think we've seen a lot of Vanessas on Survivor. So in my mind, if Austin is playing against your typical Survivor cast, I'm envisioning a sort of a bizarro world in which maybe he is just a leader, a boring leader. I agree, like you're saying, but I'm not sure he's playing second fiddle to someone on Survivor.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he would be a very solid casting choice. I just wouldn't be putting too much money on him winning a season.
Then from Big Brother 17, I didn't feel really strongly about a lot of the top of the class. I did not want to see Steve Moses or the Twins playing Survivor.
What?
Does not really
how could
do
you
a
say
hell of a lot
how
for me.
How could you say that?
Oh, my God.
But two people that did stand out to me for their outdoorsiness, likability, and getting hit by a train would be none other than Trainwreck Becky Burgess.
I got hit by a train last year while I was walking.
And James,
okay,
who very popular with America.
Yeah.
And, you know, we learned about James early on, big comp guy, very likable, outdoorsy. And Becky, she tore up that fishbowl running down the lanes competition. They showed her hiking and all this, and she got hit by a train. So I think she can handle the elements.
Yeah, very pretty. I think that she could definitely pull off the Survivor casting. James, I'm not sure if how good of a Survivor player he profiles to be. I know America sort of loves him because he did the thing where he was like hiding all the time. I just don't think that's stuff that makes the cut on Survivor as well.
So you don't think that a tiny Asian man hiding in the jungle on Survivor.
How often does that come up, though, on Survivor, though? I feel like there's a lot less of the wacky stuff that's happening in modern day Survivor than there is in the average week of Big Brother.
I will say that as I was laying this out, my emphasis was on intelligent players, and he was not your quintessential strategist, that's for sure. But I felt like he could be popular on Survivor because he was one of these guys who really gave his all to the experience. And I feel like he leaves it all on the field. This is the type of guy you'd see at the end of a Survivor challenge with the blood dripping down his face, covered in mud, who just had another loss, you know. And I feel like people would be pulling for him. Do I see him winning a season of Survivor? Absolutely not. But do I see him getting cast on Survivor? I do.
I don't know. I feel like just the he's popular. I feel like more for the antics, and I just don't think you're going to see a lot of them. I look, you could do a lot worse than James, but I feel like that he's just not wacky enough in terms of like, you know, the stuff that's wacky about him is more subtle.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then this cast didn't do a ton for me. There are other casts that have a lot more people I want to talk about. But the other person who at least warrants discussion is Vanessa, obviously. I personally don't see her as a fit for Survivor, but does she have a high enough level of gameplay that it doesn't matter the nature of the game that she's playing? But I feel like that she really grinded people out on Big Brother. It was just a process of just wearing them out over the long haul. And I just don't see her sort of frenetic, frantic, harassing gameplay holding as much weight on Survivor. But
that's
then again,
point.
She also did a lot better in physical challenges than I think she's credited for. You know, she was more than a strategist. So I was curious your thoughts on Vanessa.
Right. Her skill set on Big Brother would be she was the HOH a bunch of times. She'd have the HOH room. She'd get somebody up there in the HOH room, and it would be like an hour long interrogation of a person until they finally cracked. And then we're back to working with them. And she would just like really just grind people down. Whereas on Survivor, you just don't have that much time alone with the other people. Whereas the Big Brother house is big enough that you can sort of spread out and you could be in the backyard. You could be upstairs. You could be wherever. And then you could have like these sort of like really in-depth conversations. I feel like it's harder to really work people over on Survivor. It's a lot quicker conversation.
I agree. I think with the poker background, this is someone who really... she was one of those long haul sort of players, someone who really was, who thought from the beginning, I'm here for 100 days and I'm going to take every single one of them to maximize my opportunities and better my gameplay. So on Survivor, I see her desperately wanting to take control from the beginning and it not being anywhere near as well received. So didn't stand out to me as someone I was dying to see play Survivor. I'd like to see her play Big Brother 100 times, but Survivor, I'm not seeing the crossover there. So I feel like this season of Big Brother, pretty light on potential quality Survivor candidates.
Well, let me pause you right here because I have a feeling. So the person that's like yelling at their iPhone and is saying, hold on a second, Eric Stein, what about Johnny Mac?
I just don't see it at all.
No.
I really don't.
How dare you?
I really don't. Because Well, you know what? It would be interesting. I guess there weren't that many Johnny Macs on Big Brother before Johnny Mac, but who flies by the seat of their pants on Survivor like that? I can't think of a single example in all 31 seasons of a player who sort of just kind of like was like, oh, you want me to do what? Nah. Or sure. What the hell? You know, he's just so he's just very unique. Right. So it's do I see him, though, being physically dominant? No. Do I see him being the type of person to take that Jeremy or Mike leadership role at the top of an alliance? I don't. You know, I really don't. I see him as being someone in Big Brother you love having around. And I think that that's another thing we didn't really hit on that much. That 39 days, I can deal with anybody. Like, shut up. Just go in the woods. Get out of here, you know. But in Big Brother, it's a big part of it. People get sent home for being annoying on Big Brother in the early days. You know, it's just I can't sit here with this person for 3.5 months. So Johnny Mac, I think, was well liked. I think they all were happy to have him around. But was he really ever going to win Big Brother 17? I don't see it.
All right. Well, let's talk about Big Brother 16 then.
All right. So I know someone who you're really hot on.
Beast Mode Cowboy?
Victoria.
Victoria.
First out on Survivor. No chance of making it beyond the first time that her tribe goes right to tribal. And I think it's worthy of mentioning because she placed second on Big Brother 16.
Yeah.
It's just to point out the distinctions between the game.
Look, you could have somebody like an Abby Maria go far into the game. She goes, you know, seventh and fifth in her seasons, respectively. But yeah, you would think that Victoria, who's not bringing anything to the table in the challenges, and if she is being, you know, at all confrontational, you feel like that she's somebody who's going to go out. But then, you know, that's more of an old school Survivor move. I feel like maybe the new school Survivor move, you might have somebody who's more of a threat on the table.
I think it's in the realm of possibility. I don't think a princessy type of character has a chance in hell on a Survivor season. I just think she's a total liability to her tribe in a team game.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I'm not seeing it. Okay. Then on the other side of the spectrum, and, you know, I was wondering if it was even worth including the winners, but you know what? I don't think that a lot of the Big Brother winners profile as great Survivor players, but Derek, I believe, could win a season of Survivor. In my estimation, good is good. I feel like it could be a lot like Boston Rob on Redemption Island. He's the type of person is basically what he did on BB16. He rallied an alliance, stayed at the top of it the entire season and rode it out, which is one of the things we discussed is very effective on Survivor.
Yes.
So he's someone who definitely jumped out to me.
On top of that, if I could just build on that, you know, also just from the age that which he did it, of being, you know, 30 years old, which that's like old for the Big Brother house. And that would be sort of just like prime time age demographic for Survivor to come in.
Right. If you were to look at the recent Survivor winners in that Jeremy, Mike, Tony, Tyson sort of realm, Derek profiles right along with them. I mean, I think, you know, you got to give credit where credit is due. Derek is a solid strategist who seemed well-liked and well-trusted by the people he played with. I think a lot of Derek's game that we saw on Big Brother 16, we would see on the island almost identically.
Yeah.
And also, real quick to point out, and I think that this has been clear the way we're discussing it, but I'm envisioning this as if this was the first time that these people ever stepped foot on either game. Obviously, if they had played their game previously, Derek would be an enormous threat on Survivor if he played Survivor again, you know, so he's not going to win a season of Survivor currently if he were to go back on. So we're just taking what we know of their skill set and applying it to if they had gone on Survivor instead of Big Brother.
Makes sense to me.
All right. So obviously a real interesting debate that's going to come out of BB16 is Frankie, who's actually a much bigger Survivor fan than he is Big Brother fan. I believe it was actually his preference to go on Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
My gut instinct is Frankie does worse on Survivor. What are you feeling?
I feel very strongly that that is the correct assessment.
Yeah, it does not. I don't know if captive audience is the right term I'm looking for. But basically, that is what you have on Big Brother. Mm-hmm. He had a group of people who were just locked in there with him for his shtick, you know?
Yes.
And he did exceedingly well in the competitions. He was by no means a pushover, but I really can't think of a Frankie-esque character who ever did well on Survivor. And I really need your help here because I can't put my finger on what the problem is. It just doesn't sit right with me.
Well, I mean, don't forget, with Big Brother 16, we had all the Team America stuff, which was a boon to the Derek Frankie, and maybe to a lesser degree, Donnie. So you wouldn't have that in play on Survivor. And then also don't forget that, like, they had Frankie Grande dead to rights on that Battle of the Block, that he was going to be voted out, and he basically was able to pull off almost like a Giesling-esque funeral. Like, he probably should have been like out middle of the road.
And I think one of the things that you've actually hit on a few times is worth noting, because the types of things that are featured on Big Brother that make people big characters wouldn't even exist on Survivor. I mean, could you imagine Frankie parading out of the woods for his grand reveal of who his sister was in the middle of Survivor? It's like everyone's sitting around the shelter and, you know, they're starving and it's raining outside. And he's like, hey, guys, I know a way to cheer you up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm related to pop star. You know, like, I don't feel as if it has lands in the same way that it did in the Big Brother house.
I also think that stuff like that is more of a liability on Survivor. I feel like that almost every single time we have a celebrity like that, people yes. tend to want to get them out once it is sort of exposed, whether it's, oh, Cliff Robinson, he probably has money. Oh, Jimmy Johnson, he's probably wealthy. Jeff Kent's got to hide who he is. Lisa Welchel doesn't want people to know. And Penner, like, tries to blow up her spot at the final tribal council. I think that more often than not, I think people want to keep their identity a secret.
Yep. Yeah. No, I think that that's definitely the case. And also, I feel as if, I don't know why, I feel like it's just very rare that these truly eccentric, over the top personalities really come out of they're actually very rarely on Survivor, let alone rise to the top on Survivor. I think you have a lot more solid people on Survivor. I think these sort of, I don't want to say crazier, but more eccentric out there characters you see a lot more often on Big Brother. For some reason, I just don't see people being locked in the house with him is somehow different than being trapped on an island with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what it might be. Maybe if, like, you know, the chips are down more when you are sort of like out there. And if you're like less of a person of substance, you can get by on that more in the Big Brother house as opposed to being on Survivor.
Yeah, I think that certainly makes sense. A person who jumps out at me from Big Brother 16 in the more obscure deck here is Hayden Voss.
Yes.
He was extremely likable. I know I said we're envisioning this as if it was a first time, but I do think this is someone who, with a little age and experience behind him, would approach the game ever so slightly differently. I think he had very few enemies in the house. I think his biggest drawback was that Derek was just such a strong player, and Derek recognized that Hayden may have been one of his only potential downfalls in the game. And someone who comes to mind as very Hayden-esque for me is Eric Reichenbach,
mm-hmm.
who did exceedingly well two times on the show, made it really deep into the game. I feel like Hayden would be unassuming, would not bother people, would be a surprisingly good asset and performer in challenges. And he's just one of those guys. Why would you get rid of him?
Very likable.
Yeah, very likable, very unassuming, not in your face. So I think he's a really solid option. Probably, maybe it's just the looks or like the attitude. You know, it speaks to Fabio a little bit, certainly calls to mind that type of player. But Fabio won, you know, because for the very reasons of no one felt compelled to get rid of him, you know?
Yeah, well, I think it's a very good point. And when I do the casting type podcast with Angie Kontz at the beginning of every season, I believe one of the best performing casting types is the surfer guy on Survivor. So I think that Hayden would fit nicely in that legacy.
Whereas on Big Brother, David Gurdon and Braden Baca did not do so well.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's the outdoors vibe, you know?
Don't forget Jace.
You need to ride the waves, you know? So maybe we should just automatically send all of the surfers to Survivor.
Yeah. What about somebody else from Big Brother 16? What about Devin, bro?
You know, as we hit on, Derek, good is good, bad is bad.
So, he's got a daughter, bro.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, I'm trying to think, has there been a lot of emotional men on Survivor?
I think there have been.
I don't recall a ton of uncontrollable weeping and these sort of like, you know, I don't know, these chats that he always was having. I don't know. He required so much reassurance. He had so much paranoia. I mean, it would be fantastic. I'd love to see him running up and down the beach, waking people up and having meetings in the middle of the night.
Sure.
But, oh God, no. I can't imagine him going past, you know, day 9.
Okay. Any of the women from Big Brother 16 jump out to you? Any a Joey, a Pow Pow, a Jocasta even?
The only person who sat at all, it's hard to do this podcast without really bashing people a little bit, but this was not the strongest female cast on Big Brother 16. Not a lot of fighters in this cast. So the one person who came to mind was Brittany.
Yes.
And the primary reason is just because she completed that outrageous soccer task. She had a lot of heart. And I do think heart is very important on Survivor, because when you're down in the elements, we saw it a ton, basically on every season, you need to be able to dig deep and have a reason to be there. If you're not in it for the long haul, if you're not mentally wanting this badly, you have no chance on Survivor. Once you check out, you're gone on Survivor. So Brittany struck me as the only female who really might just be able to dig in a little bit. But we didn't see enough of her game on Big Brother to know how it would translate, in my opinion.
One other topic that I think is kind of interesting that you haven't touched on yet. So a lot of these people end up being sort of recruits, and they were like, she was like in a bar like 2 weeks before Big Brother started, and they ended up casting her on the show. Which show do you think is easier for a layman to come in and be able to pick up speed and be able to play the game at a competent level after about a week or so? Survivor or Big Brother?
It's interesting to say, but I would actually say Survivor. I just think we see a lot less of those types of players on Survivor. A Big Brother is just filled with your Hawaiian Tropics models and bar recruits and, you know, the Santa Monica bartenders and so forth. And the thing is, I mean, there are a lot of nuances to the Big Brother game. I remember people asking me on my season, like, so how does the veto work? They didn't know things like, oh, if you you don't want to win the top 5 HOH, because if you win top 4, you can play again at top 3. But if you win at top 5, basically you're taking out one of your only 2 chances of survival at the top 4. Like, they didn't know a lot of the very specific strategy details of Big Brother. And it's hard to win, because when you are up against Steve Moses and Andy Heron and those type of people at the end of the game, it's a problem. So I really do think that for Survivor, it's a little bit more black and white. Yes, there are those sort of fine elements to it, but I just kind of think that Big Brother, there's a little bit more to the gameplay that if you're not familiar with it, it would be hard to pick up.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's probably a little bit easier of sort of like just starting at, okay, if we don't lose this challenge, we don't have to vote anybody out. I think, and then just sort of like building from there, whereas the Big Brother week has many different chapters to it. Okay, first we're playing HOH. Do you want to win HOH? Do you want to try to throw HOH? And then you have to go kiss up to the HOH, and then you have to play vetoed. Are you throwing the veto? And then, you know, how do you campaign? Whereas I think Survivor is a little more of a straight line.
Yeah, I agree with that. Although I don't, certainly off the top of my head, I'm not thinking of a lot of Survivor winners who were known recruits, you know, or people who did not know the game that well. So I do think that, you know, when push comes to shove, I really do think it's just really hard for people who have no idea what they're doing to overcome people who do know what they're doing. But, you know, sometimes those people slip through the cracks. I do think there's been Survivor strategists that just went out really early that we just never even saw what their chops might have been, you know, so it's hard to say. But as weak as the BB 16 women were, I think the BB 15 women were pretty badass.
Okay.
I do. I think you had Helen, Amanda, Gina Marie, Aaron, all of whom, or many of whom, I think might translate pretty well to Survivor.
Well,
right?
Especially when you factor in the fact that there'd be no live feeds on Survivor.
Right.
Whole new game for, you know, Aaron and Gina Marie.
And, you know, not for nothing, you know, Gina Marie, she was a tough cookie. I could see her, you know, she wouldn't have been able to cook up her chicken parm to curry favor with the cast. But I think there's something to it. But one person who really jumped out at me from this cast was Helen.
Yeah.
You know, she was always on top of people, always checking in, which I think we saw Jeremy doing a lot of this season. I know Tasha is said to have done a lot of it this season on Survivor. Helen is that type of person that once she set her alliance, she would have checked in with you five times a day that, hey, are we good? You know, can I get you anything? Do we need to talk about anything? Let's hash this out. Again, the slightly older players do tend to thrive a little bit more on Survivor, but not super physical. I actually think this is someone who may benefit from the shorter game and the not locked in the house, may have started to grate on people's nerves a little bit on Big Brother. But I think in Survivor, you know, does she have the potential to rise up as a leader on Survivor?
It's a good question.
Yeah, she's someone who's interesting to me. Whereas Amanda, who I think is, you know, one of your very obvious surefire Big Brother all-stars, if that comes to fruition, I do not see her doing particularly well on a season of Survivor.
Why? Why do you feel like that she's better suited for Big Brother than Survivor?
It's sort of in the same realm as what we were discussing. It's kind of where Frankie meets Vanessa.
Mm-hmm.
She's a bit of a grinder and a captive audience person. She just over and over again just wore you down. It's just like she beat her drum so hard that after a while you were marching to that beat. She was just such a strong voice in the house that eventually it just sort of saturated the whole situation. And I feel like it's very rare on Survivor that you see someone who singularly has that type of word, who just sort of lords over the entire experience like that.
But I feel like that probably, I mean, based on what we're talking about of, you know, you got to make big moves and you could play harder from the start, I feel like that game is more conducive to Survivor than even to Big Brother.
I see what you're saying. She certainly wasn't the most physical of players, but I don't think she'd be a detriment to the point that she'd be, you know, out right away or anything along those lines. I don't know. It's just, I'm the type of person, I belong in a house. I belong sitting on a couch, chewing people's ears off, sort of handling the boredom, not the adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And Amanda, for me, falls in that category.
I think she'd be an interesting crossover.
I think she'd be interesting. You know, and another one is, of course, the winner of Big Brother 15 is Andy, who is a numbers guy. He is an excellent alliance man, but he is not your prototypical physical take charge sort of Survivor, you know, alpha player.
Right.
So is he someone who can keep himself in the majority by being likable and he's going to do that one reshuffling of the deck like he did on Big Brother 15? Or is he somebody who is going to get lost in the shuffle and we would never even get the opportunity to see his strategy on Survivor?
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's probably more the second for Andy.
Yeah, that's what I think also. He doesn't, I don't feel like he has the opportunity to settle in enough where it rises to the top. Now, someone who is also interesting, this is a very interesting cast for crossovers, would be Alyssa, who was very physical, led everyone in their morning yoga, although we did see on Survivor 31 that, you know, yoga does not always get you far in the game, necessarily. but Alyssa is a definitely a more of a physical specimen as far as the women go. Mm-hmm. She was definitely not a strategist, but is she someone who maybe could have gotten carried as an alliance member on Survivor?
Yeah. I'm not seeing Alyssa as a successful Survivor player.
Neither am I, but is certainly was someone who I saw as, I don't know, bringing a different set to the table, I guess.
Yeah. No MVP twist either.
Right. And then Aaron, I guess, is the last person who's really worth discussing here. She won four HOHs and she was your ultimate in shot out of a cannon, try hard, not necessarily understanding the social nuances. But that was a lot more of an at home storyline than it was inside of the house. I don't think she was particularly disliked inside of the house. I think she was a threat inside of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time she's on Big Brother 15, she's 22 years old. She wins four HOHs, really sort of burns bright and then burns out fast. Is this someone who's an asset on Survivor, or does she have a similar trajectory?
I mean, she's certainly somebody who could be a spunky pre-merge type player.
I agree. I'm not seeing, believe it or not, I'm seeing Helen as the strongest candidate from this cast.
Mm-hmm. What about somebody like a Howard?
I thought about this, but the word from inside of the house was that in light of the storylines that we were getting on Big Brother 15, that Howard got a really great edit on the broadcast version of Big Brother. But from what I know from the BB15 players, Howard was not super well liked socially inside of his own house. I kind of did give some thought to the whole moving company guys.
Yeah.
Could Nick, could Spencer, could McCray. And actually, McCray's the one who stood out to me the most.
Interesting.
He's a scrapper. He did know the game well. He would not be a big enough liability to go home right away on Survivor, but would he ever be a mover and shaker that he could take control of the game? I don't know. And also, J-U-double-D would be interesting as well. He's another outdoorsman.
Right.
But I don't think he had the strategic chops to rise to the top of any season of any show. So,
Eric, have you seen Nick Juhas in any of his Today Show appearances?
Oh, I have not, sadly.
Yeah, check that out. Check that out if you have a chance.
It's on the to-do list. I think this is an interesting cast. I think a lot of people would make it to the dance on Survivor, but I'm not seeing them rise to the top.
Right.
I think Big Brother 14 brings us a ton of great discussion here.
The possibilities are endless here.
Willie Hance.
Yes.
give it to me. I want to hear. You're the one who has dug back in on the evolution of strategy. Brandon, sixth place finish. Russell, an all-time Survivor legend. So if there isn't a chef for Willie Hance to headbutt, does he make it much further on a season of Survivor?
You know, in some ways, I felt like Willie Hance was even a more polished version of Russell Hance, because I think that, you know, he did just play the game way too hard, too fast, and ultimately he burnt himself out. But I felt like that there was a point early on where, boy, Willie Hance seemed like he was doing something in that game. It looked like it was going to be a fun summer until he ultimately just like flamed out as soon as he wasn't in power anymore in the house. I mean, ultimately, I don't think that he could be better than Russell Hance. I think that all Hance games end in tragedy on Survivor. But I think that Willie Hance, especially if he came in the same way where you didn't know it was Russell Hance's brother, I think that he would definitely be an interesting Survivor player.
Yeah, I guess that's one of the big questions here is, does the Hance legacy either help him or hinder him on Survivor?
Oh, it hinders.
I kind of tend to agree, although it didn't, you know, it's like Brandon, I guess, for all intents and purposes, was dragged by his alliance on South Pacific, right? But he did pretty well in the game. And mm-hmm. I would say he is far more of a loose cannon than Willie is.
But Willie was like trying to do Russell type stuff. Whereas Brandon, you know, he had like the little bit of the thing where he wanted to try to get Michaela out. But he was much more into being like evangelical out there. And I think that he was trying to, you know, consciously not be like Russell.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that's true. But Willie seems so easily flustered. He got set off by breakfast cereals and all kinds of things that were just getting under his skin. So
breakfast cereal is at the heart of so many Big Brother subplots.
It really is, but you don't encounter that out in the jungle, so you know, maybe it never sets him off.
Yeah,
but at the same time, it obviously is a ticking time bomb. It's just, you know, does he go off? It's hard to say. I think we all could envision it happening. I still don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
Oh, I think it's out of the realm of possibility. I think there's a chance that maybe Russell Hance plays again, but I think that we're done with Willie and Brandon.
Well, how about Sean?
Sean is interesting, but I think at that point, why not just bring Russell back?
Very true. All right. So here's our first obscure, unsuccessful Big Brother player that I'm going to really sort of sound off for here. I feel like Cara Monaco would be an excellent Survivor player.
Yeah, I could see it.
She really was dealt some bad circumstances. I feel like sending her out was simply sending a message to Dan. I don't think it was reflective of her game at all. I think all of the newbies on Big Brother 14 got dealt a really raw hand because they were tied into their coach. So it really wasn't anything to do with her personally. She's a great strategist, really a very likable, sweet person. And she does possess a lot of those Survivor sort of casting tropes that we're apt to see, but she has a lot more chops than your typical Survivor beauty may have. I could see her being a truly elite level Survivor. I'm not sure she wins a season. I'm not sure she would ever take charge in that regard, but this is someone I could see on 2-3 times being a true fan favorite. I mean, maybe someone like an Amanda Kimmel, possibly, maybe someone along the lines of someone who you could see time and time again.
Wow, you're really bullish on Cara Monaco.
I'm big in on her. And that's because I do know her. And I feel like she just got the shaft on Big Brother. I think that people feel as if, you know, gameplay and your placement on the show don't always coincide. That's just the way I see this. And I feel like this is someone who just never got out of the gates on Big Brother 14. I think if we saw her throughout the course of the season, not up against it right away, I think she would have settled in and done a really good job. Yeah,
I think that's a good one. And I don't think that her skill sets necessarily made her bad for Big Brother. It was just a person who just sort of got, like, we could do a podcast of people on Big Brother who just got screwed by twists or whatever, and she would be on that list. It's not like she would be bad at Big Brother and she would be good at Survivor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, completely agree. I think this is just someone more along the lines of what we were saying with Hayden Voss as well, who I would just like to see play either game again, I think, really.
Okay.
And I think a person obviously well worth discussion here. I don't necessarily like their chances, but feels like he may have been better suited for Survivor is Frank Udy.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he is somebody who could do great on Survivor.
Yeah, I agree. He feels really in his element. He was physical. And I think some of the things that sort of held him back a little bit on Big Brother wouldn't be as much of an issue on Survivor.
You get the Psycho Sid family visit.
Yes, exactly. And you know, I think he was a little bit paranoid, a little bit of like a control freak. But again, that doesn't come back to bite you in the same way on Survivor. He was going to always be the person. He was winning so many challenges. And I do wonder if he tips a little bit into that Joe realm. He's too dominant physically, where it's just a matter of time before it gets him. But I will say that, you know, on Big Brother, it's like eventually when he lost power and his alliance wasn't HOH or he didn't win a veto, he was going to go home. But on Survivor, could I imagine him, Boogie, Ian, and that sort of contingency just running with it and making it to the end? Yeah, I could have seen that. You know, it's a little bit of a different game. They would have been more powerful and they may have just taken charge and never looked back.
Right.
Possibly.
He should have been voted out at that time when they just said, oh, there's no eviction this week.
Right, right, right. And the thing is, I don't see him necessarily being a particularly good second time Big Brother player, because he's still just going to register as a huge threat. And but on Survivor, I don't know. Seems like he'd be more in his element.
I like his chances more on Survivor.
Yep, I do as well. And outside of them, I'm not seeing a lot of strong Survivors in this
cast. What about the coaches?
Okay, well, I sort of earmarked them a little bit more in their original seasons. But going into the coaches, I think Brittany, no way in hell. Don't even put her out.
You don't think she
there.
Has Courtney Yates upside?
I don't even think she, no. I really don't, because I don't think she survives on the beach in Survivor.
Right. Well, she would probably be 4 out of 4 in terms of these four coaches if you were looking for survivors.
I do think Janelle would do great. But let's look at it this way. Not necessarily Coach Janelle. I think, you know, Janelle 1.0, 2.0 from season 6 and 7. I see no reason why Janelle wouldn't be equally strong on Survivor.
Right.
She was a very bullish, strong competitor. She was well-liked by the guys. I see her being a strong asset to a Survivor alliance. I don't necessarily see her winning a season of Survivor, but I see her having a strong performance. And, you know, Dan and Boogie, I think they do well on Survivor. I do.
I agree.
I really do. I think, you know, I don't know if I would put them quite to the extent of Derek in a crossover, but I do think, I mean, I really think they have that sneakiness that is really Big Brother-esque. Yeah. They are not as solid and trustworthy as Derek would be, but I think, you know, they're gamers, so I see them doing well on Survivor. Yeah.
I feel like that Boogie would do particularly well on Survivor. I feel like that he would probably be a better Survivor player than he even is a Big Brother player. Like Dan, I think might be his better game might be Big Brother. But I think that Boogie, his better game might be Survivor.
Yeah, you know, and I agree. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, and as we hit on Boogie, Will, who, for my estimation, is this still the top Big Brother player of all time. I think Will does much, much, much worse on Survivor.
I agree.
I don't even see him being even a notable Survivor character at all. But I do agree. I think Boogie could get a little in the mix. You know, he does profile a little bit stronger as that sort of, he's an influencer, he's a leader, and he did reasonably well in the challenges.
Right.
I agree. Dan is more that Vanessa style of, he's a little bit more well-suited for Big Brother, I think.
I also think that, you know, like the way that Boogie played, what was it, the coup d'etat that he had, like the superpower? I forget if they called it a coup d'etat then. I feel like that was almost very Survivor-esque the way that he was playing that in Big Brother All-Stars.
I agree. I think he actually lines up kind of as an interesting sort of hybrid of those Mikes and Tonys and Tysons and those type of guys. A lot of your recent winners, You do see some elements of Boogie-esque conduct in.
Okay.
Now, Big Brother 13, Adam Pock turned to a lot worse on Survivor.
How could you?
Well, not for nothing. The man finished third on the season. And I bring him up just like I brought Victoria up because it outlines the differences between the games. Adam did a mighty fine job of sitting around on Big Brother 13. There is no sitting around in your team challenges. I don't think Tori Spelling would come out to the jungle. There's definitely no bacon there. No apple teenies. Nothing. So Adam is my boy. I am sincerely friends with Adam.
Yes.
I would feel genuinely concerned for him if he went on Survivor.
I hear you.
It's just not happening.
Now, do you want to not talk about the returnees here? Do you want to talk about the returnees in the original seasons?
Yeah, let's do that, because I think that gives us a truer sense of what they would really do.
Got it.
But someone who actually I think might make for a really decent Survivor player, who I think is actually quite an underrated Big Brother player,
Keith Henderson.
Yes. No, I don't think Keith Henderson, because Keith Henderson showed women his penis. I don't know if that, I think that is a well-known fact. That was one of the main reasons he was voted out first, because he unnerved people with his aggressively creepy come ons. And I honestly still don't think people would appreciate that on the island.
I think it would be more natural on the island. I think that they would just, like, you could, like,
more of an excuse.
Yeah, like, hey, I'm going to go skinny dipping in the ocean. I think he'd have more of a, you know, organic opportunity for that on Survivor.
I do agree with that. I'm not sure if it builds up his game that much. I will say that two of the newbies, though, from this season do actually strike a chord with me. Portia is definitely a standout for me. And I feel as if she's underrated. She did what she needed to do in the scope of her season. She won some challenges. She made herself useful to the returning players. And if you weren't crawling up the butt of the returning players that season, you were out. You know, the other returnees went out 1, 2, 3, 4. The regulators, you know, went down in history as the only alliance to go out in succession, the first four in the game. And not for nothing, she wasn't a part of that. She had one of those, the golden key and all this. It's a little hard to say. And I think she gets a bad rap. She put on her velour tracksuit and kind of checked out for 6 to 9 weeks on Big Brother. Okay. But that's what she needed to do on Big Brother. So I wouldn't necessarily chalk it up to being lazy. I'd chalk it up to reading the situation properly. If the people who are coming out of the gates and opposing the vets simply went home that season and she didn't go home. So I wonder, you know, is this someone who could, you know, may have had a little bit more chops than we saw on Big Brother, possibly.
Now, you're not trying to land a date with Portia or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
No. I feel, but someone who I wouldn't mind a date with, possibly, Dominic Briones.
Oh, yes.
You know, in the interest of full disclosure, I am close with his wife.
Whoa.
So I do know Dominic pretty well. And I feel like this is someone who I think, be it Big Brother or Survivor, I think this is one of these guys I think we would just, I'd like to see him play either one again.
Yeah.
I really do. I think he just, another one who's just dealt one of those Big Brother hands. He got sent home because he was the biggest threat to Jeff and Jordan and Brendan and Rachel. That's right. Really what it came down to. You know, he was, there was really nothing more to it. He didn't really do anything wrong per se. So is Dom a guy who could excel a little bit on Survivor?
I think so too, especially, you know, he's 25 when he's playing in Big Brother. And I feel like that he's also a bigger guy than I think than he played on TV. I feel like that for a lot of Big Brother people, for whatever reason, that they're taller in real life. Survivors are always shorter than you think when you meet them. And then Big Brother people are always taller than you think. And, you know, he's a bigger guy.
Yeah, most people think that I'm about 4'11", but I'm a solid 5'6¾". So.
Yeah. So
you know, no. I agree. I think Dom would be a well-liked physical presence out there. I would say for my money, if Dom played like a Second Chance's Big Brother, this feels like a guy who's going really deep in the game.
Yeah,
I don't see him having those obvious drawbacks. He's likable. He's he was loyal. And I think he'd be physical. So
well, here's the question on him. Is he a better Survivor than a Big Brother player? Or do you think that he just got screwed in his Big Brother season and he would be a better Big Brother person?
No, he's a better Survivor because he's one of those guys who didn't really know the inner workings of the game on Big Brother, which I think was a drawback. I think he took it a little too straightforward, right down the pipeline, whereas he didn't get into like the machinations, I think I made that word up.
You did not.
Okay, perfect. Of the game. You know, I feel like he could just kind of like, you know, push that boulder, that raft straight forward on Survivor and kind of figure it out as he went along. I think on Big Brother, he was kind of entered at a deficit, especially against returning players. He may have been in over his head right off the get-go.
Okay, let's talk about BB12.
BB12 has a ton of people who I think would be really strong.
Including people. Hayden Moss.
Hayden Moss. And what is it that you feel, having gone back through his work and whatever, that made Hayden able to be someone to succeed again? Because as a Big Brother winner, my assumption was this guy was dead to rights when he showed up on Survivor.
I don't know. I think that Hayden might be a more natural Survivor player than a Big Brother player. I know he won Big Brother, but I think that he's better suited for Survivor than Big Brother.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And I think that, well, I have met Hayden a few times. And it's interesting because he's just a really solid guy. I don't think that he jumps out at you as he's not going to like take the air out of the room. He's not ultra charismatic to the point where everyone's gravitating to him, but he's a guy who you're going to meet and feel comfortable with, who just did well by his alliance, did well in both things. And I will say what he brought to Survivor is one of the things we're looking for from the Big Brothers is he never gave up on Survivor. On Survivor, you do have those people who finish 6th, 7th, who just kind of like, as Enzo from Big Brother 12 would say, let death take them. You know, be it the Christina Chas of the world, perhaps, you know, the people who just kind of say, you know what, I'm coming in 6th and so be it. And Hayden did not do that. He just did not roll over. He fought to the bitter end on Survivor, which I do think is a trait that kind of carried over from Big Brother a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that from Big Brother 12, you have Lane, who plainly is a better Survivor than he is a Big Brother contestant.
Makes sense.
I mean, he's gigantic, and was super well liked, well aligned. He carried an alliance all the way to the final two. I see him as being able to do something very similar. I also think that, and this is one I think is worth getting into, Brendan without Rachel.
Yeah.
I think Brendan could be a tremendous Survivor player, and I think he probably would have been a better Big Brother player also. I really do, because it's one of the things we talked about. It's where it's not eyes off the prize. It's not that. It's just that for him, the prize was equally Rachel winning as much as him winning. So they accomplished that the second time that they played Big Brother. So for, you know, Brendan succeeded at what he was trying to do. But if it was just his own game, I think that the edit we saw of Brendan is really inaccurate. I think this is like a really charismatic, smart guy who's again, another one of these guys you're talking about, who's just much, much bigger in person than you would ever imagine.
Yes.
This is like a very impressive guy, a smart guy who has his shit together. I think Brendan does really well on Survivor.
Yeah, we're on the same page on that one. What about Rachel, though? Rachel without Brendan. Do you think that Rachel is a better Survivor player?
I don't think so. I really don't. I don't know. There's something about the more sort of frantic, emotional, in-your-face players that we kind of hit on. We're dancing around with Frankie and Amanda and this and that. That in some regard, it doesn't translate for me into Survivor. Yes, there have been a few select Survivors to pull it off, but I don't know. I think it just, after a while, it's just, you don't need to deal with them. In Big Brother, you're almost kind of stuck with your alliance a little bit. But in Survivor, once you have the numbers, if you have that Rachel in your alliance, what do you need her for after a while? You know, she just strikes me as the person who doesn't get to the end.
She'd be good in the challenges.
Yeah, good in the challenges. But she's that person that you look around at and say, hey, we have a 6-2 advantage. Can we get rid of Rachel and keep the other two for one more vote? Mm-hmm. You know, just so we don't have the explosiveness of it all or the risk of her making some sort of enormous, unexpected move. I think she's just a little too explosive in a sense that she becomes a liability. I think a lot of times on Survivor, not considered a good thing. I mean, Tony is the only person who keeps coming out as we're discussing these, who like was a real sort of wild card who I can even remember going super deep in a game. I just feel like those people, it's not worth it on Survivor.
It sounds like what you're saying, and I feel like that maybe the facts bear this out, is that in Big Brother, a high drama person can, you know, they get targeted at times, but they're tolerated a lot more than on Survivor. Maybe as demonstrated by Abby Maria, while she would be the ultimate goat in two seasons, she's never gotten to the end. Like sooner or later, people tire of the drama.
Yeah. And you know what? I think it's all part of the overall production of the show. Like you're saying, 3 episodes a week, 24/7 feeds. High drama makes you, I think that might be the number one criteria for how to emerge on Big Brother as a big time player. But it doesn't bring as much to the Survivor game. That's not what Survivor's about. So it would never be a focal point on the episodes. And it wouldn't be a driving force that someone would thrive on. I think you just hit the nail on the head. Absolutely.
There we go.
I like Kristen Bidding and Annie Whittington as possible Survivor
players.
Yes,
the saboteur.
Yes. I think as we are now talking through, you know, Big Brother contestants here, there's a lot of people who sort of circumstances may have contributed to their downfall in the game, possibly. So I just think, you know, those people, you have that question mark of, okay, would just a clean slate, you know, just treat them well. I think Annie and Kristen would have had a lot more game that we just never got to in Big Brother 12.
Okay. What about in Big Brother 11? Who from the cliques do you want to see on Survivor?
All right. So there's a few people who jump out right away. Obviously, a much more natural Survivor than Big Brother player, but a dynamic Big Brother player nonetheless, Russell Caruso.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very physical, in-your-face sort of player. I'm not sure if he was a super high-level strategist, but he definitely brings the physicality to the game. I think that makes him, and an aggression that makes him very outside of the norm from what we normally see from a Big Brother player.
I think that when we're checking off that aggression box, I feel like that probably they're on the wrong show to begin with. If, you know, we're doing just going down the list of, okay, is this an aggressive player in terms of like physical aggression? Okay, they belong on Survivor, not trapped in this tiny house.
Yeah, absolutely. He's someone who's, for better or worse, going to be shot out of a cannon. And I also think, right, that contained environment, he's getting in your face on Big Brother, and it's not what people really signed up for. I feel as if, you know, maybe he emerges as a team leader, a real challenge ace on Survivor. On Big Brother, it's like, who's this scary mixed martial artist who's yelling at me all the time? You know, I mean, there aren't really also, you know, you don't find Ronnie on Survivor that often. So
I feel like just as often as you do on Big Brother. Maybe Big Brother might have, like, you know, a Ronnie, a Steve, an Ian, but, you know, you still have Cochran on Survivor.
It's true. And I guess to that extent, if Russell Caruso comes up against Cochran, I think Cochran probably reacts exactly the same way that Ronnie does, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
But I don't know that Russell does well on Survivor per se. He just should have been cast on Survivor.
Right. He belongs there. That would be his better show. Although, what did he come in, fifth place or sixth place?
Yeah, I think so. He had a pretty solid finish. Where were we? 1, 2, 3, 4, sixth place. Yeah. So, all right. So he's a smaller cast. So he was upper middle of the pack.
Had a good run.
But someone who did do well on that season, Natalie Martinez.
Whoa.
Interesting. She had some sort of, was it a judo background or
Taekwondo,
some sort of,
I believe.
Yes, Junior Olympics. I'm just making things up. But she had some sort of physical contribution to it. And was one of the only pure villains, let alone female villains, in Big Brother history. Disliked through and through from the beginning for her aggressive, hardcore gameplay. And it's exactly what you're saying. This is someone who, for better or worse, would come out of the gate strong. And I think she'd be up to the physicality and the elements of Survivor. I don't know how she would do, but she's an interesting person into the mix. You know, she's a really strong, tough, physical female competitor, which you almost never see on Big Brother, and you do get to see, you know, occasionally on Survivor.
Yeah. Was she good TV? Did you like her as a TV character?
No, I think she was, this is going to be a very obscure reference, but, you know, I come from the wrestling world, and there's sort of the good villains and the bad villains. The good villains are the people that you love to hate. You tune in to see their demise. The bad villains are the ones who you turn off the TV when they're on. And I'm afraid that Natalie Martinez she had the bad kind of heat on her. She's the type you pick up the controller like the honky tonk man and you say, no more Natalie Martinez and Ronnie and Shima and Lydia on my television. Unfortunately,
they had the wrong kind of heat, the bad heat.
Yes. Similar to Cara Monaco, who we discussed earlier, I'd like to see her play Big Brother again, also, honestly. But I could see a much better fate on Survivor for Laura Crosby.
Okay.
Than we saw on Big Brother 11. I'm sure the average person has not been clamoring for the return of Laura Crosby.
Model curse.
Yes. But she actually knew the game really well. I think her biggest mistake on Big Brother is that she promoted the notion that she knew the game really well. I think if she pretended to be a recruit, she could have gone really far in the game.
Okay. What about Big Jeff?
You know what? This is a very interesting one. I think he'd be cast on Survivor.
Sure.
And I think he would do about the same on Survivor. He's not the best physical competitor. He's not the best strategist, but he is who he is, right? I mean, like, I see him as having a very sort of parallel sort of experience on Survivor. I mean, what's your thoughts?
I think that Big Jeff ultimately does a lot better on Survivor. I don't know if he's as beloved on Survivor. And again, when you talk about he's born out of this season with all of this bad kind of heat. And you include, you know, Jesse in there also. There's all these people that the audience wants to root against. And he's sort of like the one guy that sort of like him and Jordan and that relationship are born out of that. And they're, by contrast, so lovable. It's like so incredibly popular, and he does get the coup de Jeff, which does help him in the game. So I just think, though, as a, you know, person who just has a body type, I think he belongs on Survivor. I don't think that there's anything inherently about Big Jeff other than he's a very likable guy that makes him a better Big Brother player.
Is there anyone that like jumps out at you as a comparable sort of Survivor? Because I think what you're saying is true. And I think even on Big Brother, Jeff is more of a dime a dozen than we're led to believe, because I do think he's a big byproduct of his circumstances on his season as becoming so popular. I think that if he's on a different season, you know, he might be totally lost in the shuffle or not nearly as notable. So I'm trying to think of like who the comparable level Survivor player is, you know, because he's not, you know, he's not scaling trees like Ozzy is, you know, he's not scheming the way Tyson is. So where does he kind of fall on the Survivor charts? I'm not landing.
A LJ McCannis.
Okay, right. I do feel like, right, he's your basic regular guy who has some physicality, has some game to him. Right, but is he going to pop in the same way? Well, I'm not sure he would have popped the same way on Big Brother either. So,
right.
Yeah, I agree. I think better off
the showmance also with Jordan, and Jordan is sort of like that, you know, TV gold in terms of like the conversations, how he would get flustered with her. So that's a tricky situation to sort of like handicap how they would fare on Survivor.
Right. Although Jordan in and of herself, you know, she's one of those examples where a victory and a two-time Final Four, possibly the person, you know, her and Will have the two best track records in Big Brother history. She's not going to translate to the game of Survivor.
I don't think so. All right. Anybody else from BB11?
Well, no, I think, you know, in the 11-12 hybrid, I think Jesse Godders is well worth discussion here.
Sure.
Yeah, Mr. Pictacular. One could argue that in both seasons, he was extremely well positioned at some point. And Big Brother 11, talking about Jeff and his coup, I don't think Jesse was in danger for 1 minute on Big Brother 11. Mm-hmm. He was the leader of a dominant alliance that won every single HOH while he was in the house. And then the nominations got flipped and he got voted out.
Yeah.
So is this a guy with his physicality and showing some signs of learning his lesson from the first time and coming back out a second time who, you know, actually could pull off that sort of start to finish alliance? Or at the same time, for all of our talk of physicality, how many just like outright dudes have ever killed it on Survivor?
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't happen that often.
Right. And how many times were those dudes Mr. Spectacular?
Right. I actually think Jesse might be sort of a peek at what Beast Mode Cowboy might be like on Survivor,
ooh,
possibly.
See, but I feel like that Jesse is a bit more in on the joke than Beast Mode Cowboy is. Like, I feel like that Jesse kind of gets, oh, okay, this is who I am, this is what my edit is, and let me play into that. Whereas if you like gave Beast Mode Cowboy truth serum and said, you know, Beast Mode Cowboy, so tell us about you, like, what is your character on the show? I think he would tell you, like, you know, I'm America's favorite player. I'm a hero in the eyes of America. And I think that he would believe the hype, whereas I think that Jesse knows that it's kind of a joke.
That's concerning about Beast Mode, but you're probably right. I tend to agree. I agree. I think Jesse, obviously, it evolved as it became this running shtick on Big Brother. But, you know, Jesse's one of those, like, you know, two true outcome sort of guys. I think whether it be Big Brother or Survivor, Jesse's always going out early or always going to the end. He's not a middle of the pack sort of guy. If he's able to settle in, good for him. But, you know, he's going to have that big spotlight on him no matter what he does.
Yeah.
And, you know, from Big Brother 10, I think that Memphis is a strong candidate for Survivor.
Ooh.
We were talking about a runner-up, someone who got a little bit overshadowed by Dan, but he made it pretty clean to the end of the game. He did something on Big Brother that I think was notable that's never talked about. He won a car in like week one or two in a challenge. And on Big Brother, much like you were saying about Cliff Robinson and Jimmy Johnson and stuff, it's like, hey, this guy won a car already. Let's just vote him out. He's got enough money already. We don't need to keep him around. He may be the only person in Big Brother history that won anything of note or significance early on who actually survived it. So I think he has a bit of an underrated social game. He was never really in danger on Big Brother 10, and he seems physical enough that he might be able to pull it off. I don't know him super well personally, but his game, I think, could translate.
Yeah, I think that any of these bigger guys that, you know, were like kind of, you know, big threats in the Big Brother house, but it demonstrated any sort of like social game, I think that you could definitely see it easy.
And I think it's always important to note the people who would not translate well to illustrate the differences. So we have two people who made it really deep in the game on Big Brother 10 who would go down in flames on Survivor in Jerry McDonald and Lorenza Rennie Martin. Not liking their chances on Survivor.
That's pretty fair.
I mean, we could lay, could we lay out a Rudy-esque story arc?
No.
For Jerry, in which he has a buddy comedy with Dan, like Rich and Rudy has?
You know, that Dan guy, you know, he's like a real Judas.
Them bathing each other at sea. And I'm not seeing it.
No. Anybody else from BB10?
Well,
no Stephen Dingle?
No, not loving him. I think, you know, there are certain people who just are kind of just those affable people. It translates. Like, I'm sure Keisha would do reasonably well on Survivor, but we're not looking for people to do reasonably well. We're looking for people who either belong on it or would win. So, you know, doesn't jump out at me. I do think that Big Brother 9, forgotten season, does actually bring a person who would do exceedingly well on Survivor in Crazy James. I know that, again, now we're digging deep in the well here. I know we're getting a little far removed here.
You love Crazy James.
I really like him. I think he was a dynamic, physical, emotional, sort of real interesting character. Unfortunately, I don't think he's going to ever have the chance to play Big Brother again. So why not send him the Survivor? You know what he was? He was that raw 21-year-old kid who you couldn't bottle this if you tried. You know, he was just a truly great casting. He was someone who just showed himself on the show.
And other places, too.
Yes, I the word choice was intentional. And he showed himself impressively all around. But whatever the case may be, this is a guy who I'd like to see unleashed on the island. I see him as being one of these people who just thrusts.
Wow.
I can't stop now. Himself into it. But I think he'd be interesting. And also, how about Maddie McDonald?
Now, is he out? Is he out of incarceration?
Out? Yeah, well, yeah, but you know what? Even I don't know. We've heard some smuggling tales on Survivor. So what if he brought some pills with him to the island?
Yeah.
As like a bartering, like it's his own fake immunity idol.
Yeah, we got to see about Maddie if he is out of jail.
And Maddie is also one of those. He's the reverse of what you've sort of detailed for Big Brother players. He's actually much smaller than you would think he is.
Oh,
so I'm not sure about his physicality. Big Brother 9 also has some players who went really deep in the game who do not register as strong survivors, from Chatty Natty to Sharon to Sheila. These are sit around on the couch type of players. These are not get out in the island type of players.
All right, well, let's get into your season. Let's talk about the season everybody's tweeting about, BB8. Even my son is just walking around the house, BB8, BB8. And everybody is loving BB8 so much. So let's talk about the people from your season. What about you?
Well,
would it be a disaster? I know you said you're better suited for Big Brother, but do you think?
I don't think it would really be a question of survival. Because I think that we've seen a lot of, right. I mean, I'd like to think if, be it Cochran or Courtney or whoever the case may be, survived on the island.
Look, this is the answer. If I could do it, you could do it. That's the upside.
or am I allowed Tums on the island?
Well, you go through a lot of Tums?
You know, do I go through a lot of Tums? This is, you could probably get Tums to sponsor this.
I think if you had some sort of like a doctor's note where you had like some prescription strength antacid, I think you could have that. I don't think you could have over the counter Tums or
I have
or
a ton
Rolex.
Of allergy problems, so clams and coconuts are not going to ring true with me. But here's the thing, and this is not a slight towards Survivor, it's just the mechanics of the game, is that I'm not Matt Quinlan. I know if 5 is greater than 4. And I really honestly think I could go on Survivor, befriend a majority, and stay in that majority for the better portion of the game. I don't know where else I go. I'm obviously a liability in challenges. I'm obviously going to go down in flames, physically speaking. But I'm wondering, like, right, is it similar to you? Is it similar to Todd? Is it similar to Cochrane? Is that what my experience is like? Or am I just first out on Survivor?
I don't think you're first
honestly,
out.
I don't feel like it's the game for me, yeah. Personally.
No, you're better on Big Brother. You're better.
Yeah, right. I mean, but the thing is, like, the Big Brother grind, that's, we talked about this, like, I was very well suited to sit around and, like, bore people into a sense of complacency and then take advantage of them. Mm-hmm. Like, I have stories to last a lifetime for the Big Brother house. You know, I'm not much of the go spearfishing type of guy. I also, you know, I would say my physical skills leave a lot to be desired. But somebody, he's a friend of mine. I bring him up probably more often than his place in Big Brother history deserves. But I think we actually have a Malcolm or Joe on the Big Brother 8 cast in Nick Starcevic.
Yeah.
This guy is a pro football player. He grew, you know, I believe his Big Brother intro package had him riding an ATV through the woods topless. Mm-hmm. You know, he was very charismatic, very charming. And, you know, Big Brother is a game where deceptive little shit weasels like me undermine that type of player. But some of the most popular people in Survivor history fit the Nick Starcevic profile. This is a guy who I see as being a really notable Survivor character, a millionfold more than Big Brother.
Right.
That's not even a question to me. Again, we have a lot of people on Big Brother 8 who do not do well on Survivor, like Jamaica, for example. Amber.
Yeah.
They're not ringing true for me. And of course, I think the most notable question about Big Brother 8 is Evil Dick, obviously. And the question is, on Survivor, is Dick Tony or Russell? Or does he bomb on Survivor? And I think it's open for discussion. I'm curious to hear your take on the matter.
My gut is I think that Dick is probably better on Survivor than on Big Brother. And again, your season, as is well documented, had a lot of unusual things going on there with your vote in particular. And I feel like that the more caustic game, I think, maybe plays better on Survivor. Also, he's playing in a game with his daughter, so there's somebody like he's playing like a blood versus water season, not everybody else is. So I do think that maybe that translates better to Survivor than Big Brother.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting to see. I mean, because I was awaiting for sort of it's a fallout from under Tony at any time. And I think you put Tony on a Big Brother, he doesn't last 90 days. You can't play at that level of histrionics and just, it's just way too manic to last 3 months. And it worked really effectively over 39 days. And I see Dick as a very comparable type of player. Mm-hmm. He really is, you know, getting himself involved in a similar sort of way. So I can see it translating well to Survivor. And, you know, it's a weird sort of thing, you know, for me to have to talk about. But as far as Big Brother 8 goes, I'm going to throw Jessica into the mix as a strong Survivor.
Okay,
I don't think that they really chose to detail her strategy on Big Brother, but she was a 2-time HOH. She was the last person nominated on our season. And I think the most notable thing about her is she won a very late HOH, you know, maybe it's like the final 7 or so. and they cut to every single other player in the game, literally everyone in the house, saying, well, Jessica won HOH this week, so I feel safe because I know I'm good with Jessica. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing. If you can make everyone feel comfortable and everyone thinks they're good with you, I think that she gets a bad rap sometimes as being sort of my second fiddle. And I don't think that that's really fair. I think one could argue that, she won the competitions that allowed me to do some of my wheeling and dealing. She was 21 at the time of the show. She was a professional dancer, this and that. I think she'd be up for like the fitness of it all. I'm not claiming she's going to, you know, be the all time great on Survivor, but she's someone who jumps out that could translate pretty well.
Okay. What about Danny Donato? Hold on.
I did think about Danny Donato. I think she does well on either game.
I think she's better in Big Brother.
But yeah, I think one of the things that she did both times on Big Brother, and I'm trying to be objective here because she's a close friend of mine, is that she went a little early in terms of targeting. Like, she identified me and she identified Jeff and so forth as the people who were in her way of winning, but she didn't have the patience to wait until week 10 to deal with that problem. She identified it and wanted it handled right then. Like, let me get rid of my roadblock to win the game. And she's sort of an early mover on both of her seasons of Big Brother. And neither time did it go particularly successfully. She failed at getting me out. And basically her and Jeff just, they were one of those fight over everybody's head. And they both went out in the double eviction together because they basically their minions took them both out. So she's certainly a strong physical competitor. She understands the game. I don't think she would do poorly, but BB8 Danny may wither away and die on Survivor.
Right.
Possibly. Right. I mean, she's Courtney levels of petite entering the game. And I do think that that's a consideration. I think that BB13 Danny, who came in with more of a fitness regimen and this and that, I think she'd do well, but I do agree she's more of a manipulator than an all-out physical presence. So I feel a little more comfortable with her in Big Brother as well.
Okay. What about the All-Stars? Do you want to skip them and just talk about them in their original seasons?
Well, I mean, as far as we can do it however you want, I just sort of from seven back had sort of just a couple people who just sort of piqued my interest.
Right.
Exactly. One who certainly jumps out is James Ryan.
Yes.
The Veto King.
among other titles.
Yes, yes, exactly. Very persuasive fellow.
Yes.
He's well-liked by the women. He can bro down. He was a good competitor. I think he is one of actually very few Big Brother people that we landed on that I could see conceivably winning a season of Survivor.
Yeah.
I really feel that. I feel like he's someone who gets it to an extent. I think he's one of those guys who was too much of an outward threat for Big Brother standards. He just had that target. He was almost like, in not the same game, but a Frank Udy. It was just a matter of time before it caved in on James. But on Survivor, in a shorter time frame, with less back and forth and power shifts and this and that, I like what James can bring to the Survivor game 100%.
Yeah. So I agree with that 100%. Who else from the All-Stars?
Erica Landon.
Oh.
Now, she is not a particularly well-respected Big Brother player, but she has one of the strongest cumulative records on Big Brother, mm-hmm. right? What was she? She's maybe second and third. I mean, she actually may have the best record of anyone on Big Brother.
Yeah.
And she was another yoga instructor. I feel like people would be more receptive to her underwear yoga than they were with Vetus. So I think it's possible. I think she'd hold her own. What she also was, is like, she was one of those, she sticks to you. Like one of those fish that they clean the side of the tank because they hang on to them. You know, it's like, she's one of those, she would glue herself to the people. Like if there was a vote that was in question, she's not going to leave you alone. She shows up everywhere. It's just no matter where you are, you're smoking, you're preparing lunch. She's just always there. So you can't do anything to like sort of get her out. She's just always, she's a I don't know if this is proper language for the podcast, but a cock blocker, basically. She's someone who goes out of her way to bust up conversations and to prevent people from undermining her game, which I think actually translates pretty well with the check-ins, like we were saying, you know, like about Tasha on Survivor. Erica, I think, does well. I don't know why. I guess she wasn't super well-liked or whatever the case may be, but I see her going pretty deep on a season of Survivor.
Yeah, and Erica certainly has her fans. I do think that she'd be very good in the physical competitions on Survivor. I think that a lot of those like endurance, balance competitions really play to her strong suits.
And I don't think that you can be too socially inept and make it that deep on two seasons of Big Brother.
No, no, she's definitely
there's definitely was something to her social game, absolutely. I think, you know, Danielle Reyes, if we're going back to like where she came from, she's that good. You know, she's one of those people.
Sure.
I do think Big Brother's her game, but do I think she could have done some damage on Survivor? Absolutely. No question about that to me. Otherwise, though, I'm not feeling Nokomis. I'm not feeling Marcellus.
Well, you started this conversation, I feel like, about with, you know, somebody like Jace saying like, oh, I should have like a Jace Wiry. Oh, I should have been on Survivor.
Well, yeah, certainly Scott Long and Jace and all those guys, they belong on Survivor.
Cowboy, original Beast Mode Cowboy.
I don't see that. So what would be a slightly below Beast Mode?
Least Mode?
Yeah, Least Mode Cowboy, exactly. A lot of these guys belong on Survivor. I guess I was more looking for people who might do well on Survivor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think Jace should have gone on Survivor. Do I think he's going to win Survivor? Absolutely not. It's as far as like other early incarnation people I would have loved to see or I think could translate well. I think Lisa Donahue, a winner of Big Brother 3, does well on Survivor. I think she's basically the Big Brother equivalent of your Jenna M.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's a very similar sort of game and profile. I think she could do really well. I, for one, would love to see Monica Bailey.
It's on.
Yeah, she's just fantastic. Would have just unleashed holy hell on everyone. Would have loved it. I think Maggie, better Big Brother player than Survivor player. But when you're that level of strategist and she was one of those cult leaders, you know, she was one of those, the army fought with her to the bitter end. And that tends to do really well for people on Survivor. You know, that's the Rob Redemption Island plot. Yeah. So I think Maggie could have maybe landed someone. And then if we want to just come up with the most ridiculous name that only two people listening, and I actually have no base. I could honestly not tell you if this is even true. But when I went back through the earlier seasons, I landed on David Lane.
Yes. Yeah, no, he'd be great. Four. I was going to say him.
An Army Ranger.
Yeah.
I was told this tale by casting in Big Brother that he lost his mind in the pregame sequester and they came to find him and he had overturned all of the furniture to sort of make forts inside of the hotel room.
He seemed like a fun guy.
Yeah, rearranged the dresser, the mattress, the chairs. He was kind of...
He accomplished a number of firsts in the Big Brother house.
Exactly, right. And so, again, a 20... early 20-something-year-old guy when he was first on the show. Still, well, he can only be in his early to mid-30s now. So this is someone who I think might be an interesting, feels a lot more Survivor-y than he does Big Brother-y.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me give you one last name to leave us on. What about Roddy Mancuso?
Yes, he was the last one on my list as well. I think he does really well on Survivor, actually. And again, we're pressing my levels of senility and recollection here. It's a long time ago to remember the inner workings of Roddy's game. I have not gone back and watched it, but I think he was a persuasive guy who really had an understanding for the game. I think he read as being sort of manipulative and a little threatening, which is never a good thing on Big Brother. Like the people who read as super sketchy and playing hard normally don't do well on Big Brother, but on Survivor, it's a little, I think, easier to maybe disguise that possibly in the shorter window of time. Mm-hmm. And I also think just he was going against Danielle Reyes, who was a superstar. And so she sniffed it out. If she's not there, I think Roddy could do really well on Survivor.
All right. Well, Eric, this has been a very fun conversation. We'll see if the audience wants a part two where we go ahead and find people from Survivor and bring them on to Big Brother. I think that it's been interesting that in this conversation, what we've mostly done is taken a lot of the men of Big Brother and rescue them and bring them into Survivor. It would be interesting to see if the corollary is true that when we do the Survivor list, if we will be taking a lot of women from Survivor and rescuing them and putting them in the Big Brother house.
Yeah, I think absolutely. And I think a lot of your really notable Survivor characters don't necessarily do as well in the Big Brother house as well. There are certainly ones that fit the profile really well. And like we said, that you have the huge base of players and characters from Survivor that I think would very easily dance the Big Brother dance. But some of your really all-time greats on Survivor, I don't think they would fare super, super well on Big Brother. So it would be interesting to dive in. But my guess is after this, this will be a part one only series. But what do I know? My read on this is always,
well,
off.
You did say that your number one skill set was the ability to sit on the couch, talk all day, make people so bored that they fall into a false sense of security and then take advantage of them. So this could be maybe just part one in a very long, drawn out plan.
Yeah, absolutely. Wait till you hear my thoughts on how the Hell's Kitchen contestants would do on Survivor.
Yeah.
Just, I've got hours of this material. But it is interesting, though, because I think at first blush, you make the assumption that the same people would do essentially well on both. But I really think when you get down to the nitty gritty, it's not necessarily the case.
Yeah. All right. So then we have a hashtag for this podcast. What do you think of hashtag bad heat?
I like it. The honky tonk man heat. Exactly.
Eric Stein is still not on Twitter. We still have not gotten that worked out. Has there any thought of 2016 being the year that you get on Twitter?
I'm going to be honest. I'm feeling extremely self-involved in 2016. And I was thinking that maybe we do like a press conference, possibly.
Press conference?
Read an actual statement about joining Twitter, because I think it may be on the horizon.
Okay, I love it. I love it. So keep us posted on this. We'll look forward to the comments. Anything else that you're working on you want to tell people about?
Nope.
Okay.
But I will say I did see the other day that, it's not really my plug, so to speak, but I was not apparently a big enough name to make it to the poster for the Andrea Meg meetup charity event.
Yes.
From what I understand, those were the people that people may want to see. But I will be there in the evening. So for the three people yes. who may want to see me, I will be doing it. It is for charity.
What a diss. What a diss of Eric Stein.
Yes. In spite of the fact that apparently I do not meet the coolness factor that they have laid out for the event, I will say I know both girls and it's a great cause. So, anyone should come out, but only to the evening, and at the door specifically say that you're only there to see non-poster Eric Stein. It'll yes. be perfect.
Of course, you could see Eric Stein and many other Big Brother and Survivor people who are on the poster. You can go to robiswebsite.com/NYC meetup. Yeah, it looks like only people from BB16 or BB17 got on the poster, with the exception of Gina Marie.
Well, hey, listen, they know who's going to sell the tickets, right? It's not for me to judge.
No. Andrea and Meg have made a huge gaffe here. They totally blew it.
They'll never hear the end of it from me. As, in my own mind, as an all-time great
yeah.
of Big Brother, I find this to be just a ghastly mistake.
Yeah, I do feel like even in the podcast I did with them, I don't know if you listened to that, I feel like that when they got to, like, it was like at the end, they were like, oh yeah, and also, I don't know why he's not on here, but Eric Stein, he comes to everything, so he'll be
oh,
there.
Oh yeah, yeah, and yeah, and Parvati will be there at night, and like really let a few people slip through the cracks, right? And then there was this new poster that not that many people saw that's like an enormous picture of Adam, like he's just rocking out.
Hey, an enormous picture of Adam who?
Puck.
What?
Yeah, it's like I think they got a little bad heat possibly for the original poster. She's like, oh, and also appearances by, and it's, because there actually are a lot of notable people who apparently only made the cut for the evening. I'm not really not sure what the evening versus afternoon you know, differentiation is. But on the evening poster, Adam is like front and center.
Wow. Really driving the masses.
Mm-hmm. Bacon for everyone.
All right. You got to send me a link to the evening poster.
Yeah, I will do.
Get your Apple teenies ready.
And also, I mean, yeah, exactly. And also, like, I guess this is my own doing because of my own social media. It happens frequently with the podcast, with these events. But like, my picture is no less than 9.5 years old on the evening poster as well.
Yes.
It's like, I know I'm like an ageless wonder, but hey, so, you know, we need some new headshots. I think so. Maybe that's just it. Okay. For all my boffo media appearances, exactly.
Yeah. All right. I think I found the new picture. Yes. And now you are in the new picture, which does feature the large Cody, Amanda, Audrey, Andy. You're a back row jury back there.
Enzo. I mean, but you know, these are like they're kind of burying a couple of big names there, right? I feel like those are some pretty significant people, and I mean, I think that the picture of me that's used there was from the Fox Reality Really Awards 2007.
First time I ever met you.
Yes, where I presented with none other than Brigitte Nielsen.
Yes, and Johnny Fairplay got powerbombed.
Yes, absolutely, and I mean, I'm just going to go on a limb and say that they're not many, but there are more recent photos of me.
They are hard to find. They are hard to find. You're right there on the, like, if you were to fold the thing in half, that you are right there placement-wise with Billy Garcia on the Survivor side.
All right, I feel pretty good about that. He's done over 120 charity appearances since appearing on Cook Island, so.
Okay, this is huge. All right, well, great stuff, Eric. I hope that people want a second part of this. I hope so.
Well, I think I think, you know, for the purpose of your listeners, I actually think it might be even more engaging because although we were discussing the Survivor game here, we're talking about the Big Brother characters. So I think, you know, digging a little deeper on the Survivor characters and then picking them apart a little more. I'm down if they are, but we'll see what happens.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much, everybody. Looking forward to getting into all of the Survivor 32 stuff. I'll be previewing everything you need to know about Survivor Go Wrong this week. Plus, I will have our sit-down interview with Jeremy Collins here as well on the podcast. So a big week once again. What off-season, right? So looking forward to hearing your comments on robinswebsite.com. Have a good one. Take care, everybody. Bye.